fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, and it's my delight to be able to introduce again today my good friend and our guest, Peter Burak. Pete was on the program yesterday. If you didn't have a chance to tune into the program, I'd encourage you to go to our website. You can listen to it right there on the computer. Just download it to whatever device that you have that works for you. This week, we're talking about family life. I asked Pete to come and to share his experience of growing up in the Burak family and what it was like being raised by his mom and dad, because I think there's just a lot of wonderful practical wisdom and experience that he can share just from his parents, who did an amazing job raising their boys. Not perfect, nobody's perfect, but really, with, as Pete said yesterday, with a great deal of intentionality. But welcome back, Pete.
Thanks. Yeah. Good to be here.
So, in speaking of intentionality, once you just mentioned you're the director of ID916, what is that?
Yeah. And, so it's an outreach of Renewal Ministries. We're trying to help young adults, people in their 20s and 30s, married, single, with or without kids, become intentional disciples of Jesus Christ. So make that conscious, personal decision to follow the Lord. Hear his call, have that conversion of heart, fall in love with him, and then get to the point of being able to share him with others.
And to grow in the Christian life, really, is to be discipled. What it means to be discipled, we were talking yesterday about, you're describing how your parents raised you, and it was really two disciples, Emily and Chris Burak, living together with Christ, you know, at the center of their marriage. Again, imperfectly, that kind of thing. But they were drawing you and your brother into their relationship with Christ. And really, they knew they were building a domestic church, and they were daily intentional about it. And that's how disciples get formed. They grow in environments. It's like apples don't grow in the North Pole. You know, they grow down in Florida, you know. And disciples don't grow in places where no one talks about Christ, don't have any intentional purpose and plan of how to raise people. So that was very good. Today, I'd like to ask you, Pete, in particular, about your relationship with your dad and the impact that had on you, and kind of what your memories are in your relationship.
Yeah.
Put it that way.
Yeah. For sure. There's a lot to unpack there, because my dad truly was my best friend, but always my father, too. Mm-hmm. And I think that was one of the greatest gifts he was able to give me, was to, we grew in a tremendous, friendly, fun, positive relationship, but then he was always still dad. I mean, he was still always the leader of the family, leader of Team Burak, the you know, a strong backbone. I mean, my mom was really the backbone of the family, let's be honest. But my dad still was part of the discipline. He was just all part of the intentionality you talked about. But one of the things my dad did from the beginning that I think really stuck out was he believed in quantity over quality. And what I mean by that is he wanted to spend as much time with us as possible, even if it was wasting time with us, if that makes sense. And so he wasn't a guy who would work as much as he could and then just take us on a trip for a weekend and spend a lot of kind of intense, fun time, you know, doing whatever. It was like, no, every day he wanted to spend a significant amount of time with us. So the way that manifested itself was he would come home from work, we'd have dinner together, and then my mom, who was on board with this because it's Team Burak, right, and they talked about this, she would do the dishes, and my brother, my dad, and I, we would play and we would do whatever we wanted to do with him. And so if it was in, we'd go down in the basement and we'd play floor hockey and we'd wrestle and we'd create fun games. And he was the master of integrating Brian and I, even though we were 6 years apart, figuring out a way to keep him stimulated and not totally have me be totally frustrated by whatever was going on. You know, that somehow we were able to figure out a way to all play together. Yeah. And so in the summertime, we'd be out playing baseball, shoot hoops, whatever it was. We'd take hikes, we'd go to the local nature park and just walk through the stream and try to catch crayfish and, you know, just do all sorts of things. But he just wanted to spend as much time with us as possible. And that was quality time. I mean, it was a quantity, but then it became quality because it was just dad. Like, I got to the point where I just wanted to spend more time with him because it was enjoyable and we connected and he worked really hard to build that relationship. Part of his work required a lot of travel. And so a lot of times what he would do is he would just, the way he talked about it is, I'm trying to fill you up as much as possible so that when I'm gone, you can kind of live off of that. And then when I get back, we'll fill you back up again. And he just, throughout our whole relationship, was always looking for ways to kind of pour love into us. And anybody who knew him, it wasn't unique to me or to my brother. I mean, this is the way he treated. This is one of the reasons he was successful at his business, because he loved people. The love of God had transformed his heart, and it just kind of poured out of him in the way that he cared for people, the way that he treated them and served them. He was just a big lover. And so But for me and him, there, I mean, I can remember we'd go to Cedar Point or some, you know, fun excursion, and they'd say, "Do you want to bring a friend along?" And I'd be like, "No, I've got Dad. Like, I don't need a friend. I'd rather hang out with him than pretty much anyone else." And that really continued through our whole life together, that I always say my wife is my best friend, truly. But my best male friend was and remains really my dad.
And so I know that your dad, as you got older in the high school years, high school always brings on new challenges.
Sure.
You know, you're growing, you're independent, autonomy, pushback, go along. So describe some of those times, if you can think of
yeah,
any.
Yeah, yeah. No, there were plenty of conflict. And I think the different things that they had put in place from the early age, like the forgiveness thing that we talked about, and really positive communication. My parents were really big on just, we need to communicate. So the most trouble I got in most of the time was when I didn't tell them
what was going on.
Yeah. So like if plans changed or anything, and Dad was always huge about honesty too. I mean, the most angry I think I've ever seen him was when I had been lying to him about kind of a long stretch of time. I had been lying to him about a sin that I didn't want to talk about.
Yeah.
And I just kept lying and lying and lying. And he was so mad, not at the sin, not at any of that. He was just so mad that I didn't trust him enough to tell him the truth.
Yeah.
And he just, I mean, that was the angriest of it. That's when he actually, I mean, he really blew up. But again, the forgiveness thing was there, and we could work through it. And I think what Dad, and I'm not even sure, I think I still have to unpack this as a father to figure this out, but he never sacrificed his authority as a father in order to be my friend. He was willing to take a stand and say, no, this is, I'm leading you. I'm still your dad. Even if it meant kind of hurting our friendship side of things. But what always happened with that, because it was founded in such a strong foundation of love, it never really ruptured our friendship either. I mean, it only, I think, enhanced it. I only loved him more for leading me. And in the moment, yeah, I mean, was I mad at him? Was I frustrated? Was there times where I'm sick of the way this is happening. I want to be in a different family. I want to be able to go see the movies I want to go see. And, yeah. You know, yeah, I'd really like to date a girl right now, you know?
Yeah.
But it was all part of the process for them. And because it was founded in such, like I said, such a foundation of love, it was really able to overcome a lot of that. And then, like I said, when you're willing to spend a lot of quality time with your kids, I knew that. So even though there were times, especially as I got older, where I want to hang out with my friends, or no, I want to do this, I want to exercise my independence. Just the fact that I knew that Dad wanted to be with me, mm-hmm. if I wanted to be mm-hmm. with him, made a huge difference. Just to know that I could call him up and in a heartbeat, he would come down and have lunch with me on campus when I'm at Michigan. I mean, we used to have lunch regularly, and it was almost always my instigation. He didn't push, but I knew, especially at that point, after years and years of this, I knew that Dad would always be willing to hear me out and talk. And
yeah, so it was like, just, you knew it was one of your dad's favorite things to do. You wouldn't be hassling him or stretching him, that you knew he'd want to do it.
Yeah. We were his hobby. We were his pastime. We were the thing he loved the most.
Yeah.
And he loved golf, and he loved Michigan sports, and he loved all these other things, but they always, always came second mm-hmm. to my mom and then to us. I mean, there was never a question of the hierarchy of his desires. It was always the Lord, my mom, and then the boys.
Yeah, and then as you got older, you were like brothers in the Lord together. And so you could talk about whatever's personally going on in your life, your struggles, but also your spiritual journey.
Yeah.
You talk about your faith and what God's calling you to do, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and he, as strong as he was in my early years, he only got more and more committed to the Lord and more filled with the Holy Spirit, to the point mm-hmm. that the last few years of his life, I just saw just a tremendous growth and desire to share the gospel. I mean, he became kind of unstoppable when it came to trying to help people meet Jesus.
Yeah.
And his approach was classic Chris Burak, where let's go get a coffee and talk about it. And he would just ask questions, and he would ask questions, and he'd get to know you, and he'd just love on you until finally the person would say, okay, well, Chris, now what's your thought on this? Or he said very gently, can I now share with you the way I see the world and all this? One of the joys of the last few years together was those, when we get together, what had used to been, you know, Michigan football and girls and basketball talk, really, we hardly talked about that stuff. I mean, we did at some degree.
Sure.
But it was, what have you read recently that's inspired you? What scripture has been sticking out to you? What experience have you had just recently? I mean, he would send me email exchanges that he had with my cousins and different people, and just be like, hey, what do you think? How should I respond to this? And we just became true. We were really walking together as disciples, missionary disciples together. And that was a tremendous joy, especially as towards the end of his life, to know that he was so sold out for the Lord and so sold out for trying to bring as many people with him as possible. It was inspiring.
Yeah. I mean, I think Chris lived by, I mean, I knew him well too for many years, and he lived by, you know, Matthew 6. Jesus said, you know, seek first the kingdom of God and his way of holiness, and everything else will be added onto you. And I think, like anybody, it was a life journey for him. And each stage of life, he went deeper. He was not perfect. He was a really wonderful guy, but he grew in his faith. And he grew in his faith because he wanted it. You know, this is a really important thing. It's really simple.
Right.
But a lot of guys that I know, a lot of guys, you know, we work with men all around the country, guys can be very detached from the faith, or they keep it at arm's length, or they can feel awkward. They can feel like, I'm just not a very spiritual guy. I don't get stuff. God doesn't talk to me, and these kinds of things. And so they can feel like a fish out of water. But the scripture is really clear. If you hunger and thirst, if you desire, if you want it, I promise you, I will give myself to you. That's the Lord's promise.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean in the moment I demand it, but just keep seeking him.
Right.
Just keep pursuing him.
Right.
You know, and keep following what he's teaching you, and let him make something amazing out of your life.
Right. Right. And it sounds cliche, and you hear this all the time. My dad was the MVP of the baseball team at Michigan his senior year. He had the opportunity, if he wanted to, he could have probably played professionally. He was eventually a successful entrepreneur and had his own business, traveling all the world, all these different hotels, doing different things. And yet, he knew to the core of his being, like, that wasn't satisfying to him. I think it only grew in that understanding that, again, it was the Lord, my mom, and us, and that those things were more than enough for him. And especially his relationship with Jesus was not something that took away from his fun. It was not something that took away from the joy. And I mean, it was not less, it was more, always. And that was in such an incredible witness to us, to his kids, but then also to his coworkers, his employees, his clients, all this. I mean, he was just an incredibly peaceful guy, a peaceful and joyful person.
Yeah.
Even though there was the rat race of business and all, he was doing all these things. It never shook his peace or his joy because he just was a disciple. He knew who held his life.
He had a foundation.
Exactly.
He really had a foundation. I think, and any men or women who are listening, moms or dads who are listening, and you can feel at times, I'm sure, very inadequate if you tried to raise your own children. It's challenging. I mean, I raised my kids. They're all out of the house, beautiful, wonderful kids. But we had moments it was extremely challenging, and times you feel like, am I any good at this? And is this, are they going to turn out the way I hope they turn out? And are my own limitations and dysfunctions going to be the thing that ultimately impacts them, and whatever it is, you know, struggles and concerns that parents have. And I just want to encourage you that we're talking today with Peter Burak about his father, Chris. And Chris was a really outstanding man. Pete will tell you a little bit more tomorrow about his passing. He died really early in life, in his early 60s, an amazing guy. But the same Lord who was with Chris day after day, helping him grow, helping him know how to lead his family, the same Lord is with you. And it's about the Lord. The Lord has all the grace and strength you need to become the mom and the dad that you most desire to be. Doesn't matter what your history is. Your history doesn't determine your destiny. Jesus Christ does. And if you trust him and if you rely on him, he will lead you to become everything your heart desires to be. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbig, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in the year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.